Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Oscar nominations will be announced a week from today, and one film hoping for a nod in the animated feature category is Turning Red from Disney Pixar. It's about a bespectacled Chinese-Canadian teen heroine who introduces herself.
I'm Maylin Lee, and ever since I turned 13, I've been doing my own thing, making my own moves, 24/7, 365. I wear what I want, say what I want, and I will not hesitate to do a spontaneous cartwheel if I feel so moved.
Oh, crap. And then, yeah, she wipes out. Well, Maylin, she aces school, she has this great group of friends, and she's close to her parents. What is not to like? Until her confidence is shattered one morning when she wakes up and finds that her life has become, let's call it pandemonium. If you've seen the trailer, you know what I mean. If you have not, we have Domi Shi to explain. She's director and co-writer of Turning Red. We should note she also wrote and directed the Oscar-winning short film Bao. And Domi Shi joined us last March. Okay, the big poof moment in this film is when Maylin wakes up and learns... Well, you tell us. What does she see in the mirror?
She's transformed into a giant, hairy, red, smelly panda, as we all do when we're that age.
Yeah, and it is this coming-of-age film. Let's take a listen to that scene where she's morphed into this red panda for the first time, and she's hiding from her mom in the bathroom. Here we go.
What's going on, honey? Are you sick? Is it a fever? A stomachache? Chills? Constipation?
No!
Wait. Is it that? Did the red peony bloom?
No! Maybe?
So Maylin's mom thinks she's gotten her period for the first time. She's wrong. Instead, Maylin has become this 8-foot-tall red panda, and as you say, she's very stinky. And this conversion happens. It's like the Hulk TV show, right? When she gets emotional, she turns into this red panda. The panda's a metaphor, yeah?
Yeah, it's definitely a metaphor for puberty. It's magical puberty. When I came up with the idea, it was just this hilarious image in my head of this girl that loses control and just poofs into this giant, red, hairy, hormonal animal. This is just a time in all of our lives when we just want to forget about, but it just was so juicy and tempting to just go back and kind of revisit in this weird and quirky way.
How did you pick panda?
Well, the other panda, the black and white panda, I feel like that's been done so many times in movies, and not a lot of people, especially in the West, know what a red panda is. And it just felt like the animal itself is just the perfect metaphor for puberty. You know, it's like awkward and hairy, and the color red is just reminiscent of menstruation, of anger, of embarrassment, of lust. So it was the obvious choice for me at the time.
Yeah. And this is not often a topic that a Pixar film tackles. Did you run into anyone who said, bad idea?
Surprisingly, no. I mean, when I first pitched a film in 2017, I pitched it with two other ideas. All of the ideas revolved around a girl coming of age. But this one specifically, I pitched it as a girl going through magical puberty. And they could have picked the two other ideas, but I think Pixar was like very drawn to this idea because it just elicited such a visceral, collective, cringe reaction out of everybody. Like, it was such a specific story, but it was also so universal. Like, we've all been there that they couldn't resist picking it.
Yeah. Well, and suddenly... May's world, as you describe, is ruined at this moment, and she suddenly has this crisis on the screen. Let's take a listen to that.
May. I hate this. I'm slobby. I'm smelly. My mom won't even look at me, and now Fortown. When are they coming?
May 18th. They just announced it.
The 18th? There's no way this will be gone by then. Just go become women without me.
May, it's gonna be okay.
No, it's not. I'm a freak.
Aww. So to fill in that blank, this is a boy band, right, coming to Toronto, and she can't see them. You know, my Asian parents would love Mei Lin, right? She's a Tiger Mom's dream as the movie starts. And then, of course, she wants to hang out with her friend. She wants to go to this boy band concert, which is not allowed. And she gets a B-minus that her mom discovers under her bed. Does this conflict come from your own story? I know you grew up in Toronto where the film is based.
Yeah, it definitely does. I was May. I went from being, you know, that perfect little daughter to overnight changing into this wild, peri hormonal animal who was like fighting with her mom all the time. And, you know, making this movie, I just wanted to understand like what was going on, not just from my point of view, but from my mom's point of view as well. And just try to like look at girl puberty in every kind of angle and kind of analyze it and laugh at it and celebrate it.
Well, I love the mom character, right? She's played by Sandra Oh, or the voice of Sandra Oh, and she's worried about May's panda-ness. And what I love is, well, the mom in this film, she has her own mom too, doesn't she?
Yeah, and all of them have had to deal with their pandas. And that was kind of like a really interesting theme I really wanted to explore in this movie, like that the panda kind of represents puberty, but also, you know, intergenerational trauma and how each generation deals with it. And May being kind of like the first in her family to deal with a panda in a different way. You know?
Yeah. Can I ask you about how you wanted this film to look? It doesn't look to me like, you know, previous Pixar products. I love the anime moments, right? May spots a boy she likes, or the boy band, and her eyes just expand with these sparkles and stars. I mean, where did those ideas come from?
Yeah, they all came from the character May, and like wanting to push the style and look of this movie to reflect how this tween Asian girl sees the world. And I've always, you know, been inspired by anime. Like at her age, I was like watching Sailor Moon. I was like deep in the anime rabbit hole, and it's always been like a huge influence on me artistically. It just felt like the perfect style to kind of bring this girl's emotions to life, because anime is so colorful and expressive and fun. And that all just feels like May.
Yeah. Well, let me ask briefly about you. You were born in Chongqing, China, which was where my dad was born, actually.
Whoa, crazy. It's
not far from where the pandas are from in China, in Sichuan province. You emigrated with your parents to Canada when you were two. Where did this love of animation come from?
Honestly, it came from Disney, which is so crazy that I work for them now. But like literally the very first VHS we bought, like, you know, like we were this like immigrant family. We didn't have much money. Then my dad came home one day with like a VCR, and I'd never seen that before. And he's like, we're going to be able to watch movies now from home. And then he like produced this like VHS copy of Disney's Aladdin. That was the first VHS of my family ever owned, like ever. And I remember just like watching it repeatedly, rewinding it and just and pausing it and just being so amazed at how these drawings could feel so real and expressive. And also I was like confused as to why I thought Aladdin was so hot. It was just a lot of kind of how my relationship with animation started. And I guess it never stopped.
Yeah. Well, it's 4 years now since you wrote and directed Bao, which won the Oscar. You became the first woman to direct a short film for Pixar. So after that, did you feel a lot of pressure to succeed this time around?
Yeah, but I feel like I would have put the pressure on myself anyway, just from probably my Asian upbringing. Mostly I was just excited to be able to play in a bigger sandbox. Like I only had 8 minutes to kind of tell this parent-child story in Bao, and all of a sudden I had 90 minutes. So I was really excited to just like dive in deep, especially in that specific like Asian mother and Asian daughter relationship, and how like complex it is, how close we are, but also how much we fight and the guilt and the mind games and the manipulation and the, but the love as as well. So that was just very,
I'm familiar with all of the above. Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Finally, you know, we've heard a lot of discussion about the need for greater representation in Hollywood filmmakers and the topics of what's on the screen. Do you sense the situation is getting any better?
I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I feel like it's an exciting time to be in film and animation right now. I definitely felt the full support of Pixar and Disney behind me telling this very specific story that was like very much based on my own life. And I feel like right now, like the world is just getting smaller, I think. And we are redefining what universal stories look and feel like. Like no longer do they have to be, I think, portrayed by like one group of people. I think we can all kind of identify with May and her struggle with growing up and with her mom.
Nomi Shi is director and co-writer of Turning Red. Nomi Shi, congratulations and thanks very much.
Thank you so much. It's great talking to you.